Thank you for tuning in to the Emerge Church Tallahassee podcast. We exist to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can be updated anytime we add new content. Now let's check out the message from Sunday. Hey, good morning, everybody. Y'all doing all right? Got that pre-Easter vibe going in here today. Some of y'all like, I don't know what you're talking about. Room feels good today, man. How are y'all doing? Everybody's good. Shout out the front row right here. These young people were worshiping this morning, man. I loved it, man. I love it. Getting ready for Easter, but we got today. Easter's next Sunday, but today. Also, shout out to everybody wearing these Emerge shirts. I love it, man. Seeing people wearing Emerge shirts all over the place. Shout out to you. Come on, you need a shout out today? Anybody else needs a shout out? Hey, I do want to encourage you to invite someone next week. And I took a moment to do this last Sunday, and I want to do this again. If there's someone that the Lord is putting on your heart to invite to the Easter service, I want us to pray for them. I think it's great to invite, but I think before you invite, you should pray for them. Because it's not just about getting them to come to a church service, but I want to see Jesus touch their life, amen? That's what we want to see, God touch their lives. And so let's just take a moment right now. Whoever it is that you're planning to invite, let's call out their name before the Lord. Today, Jesus, we thank you. God, we have friends, we have families, even coworkers, maybe even a neighbor that we're lifting up to you. We're going to invite them to service next Sunday. But Father, we need you to prepare their hearts. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to prepare their heart to receive an invitation. And I pray for every person in here that's planning to invite, that they will have the courage and the compassion to reach out, to send that text, to make that phone call, to ask that person to join us next Sunday for church. And Lord, I just pray that as they come, Father, it's not just attending an event, but it's coming to be with you. And God, I just pray that you will touch their lives. Lord, we're going into Easter with a mission this year, not just to have a good Sunday for our family, but we want to see people's lives touched and changed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, if you haven't sent the invitation yet, you need to get with it. Because you only got a few days left. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you only got a few days left, and I wouldn't wait till Saturday night at 11:55, okay? I'd go ahead and do that tomorrow at 11:55 a.m. Amen? Also, one more thing, water baptism. If you're on the fence about being water baptized next Sunday, because I know it's kind of like, should I do it? Should I not do it? If you're on the fence, I would say that's a sign you should do it. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all think if they're on the fence, they should do it? Let me see your hand. Amen. There you go. You were looking for a sign from God. You got one. All right. I encourage you to make sure you go to the website and get signed up. I will say this. This is probably the most celebrated step you'll take in your walk with God is when you get water baptized, because your whole entire family and church family is cheering you on and is celebrating what God is doing in your life. And next Sunday at the 11 a.m. service, we'd love to be able to baptize you. That will be incredible. So if you haven't signed up yet, go to the website. There's a tab on there you could click on, sign up. We'll get with you this week and make sure you got all the information, all right? All right, y'all ready to jump in? Let's do this. So last week, we kicked off a series called The Way, The Truth, and The Life. And there were a couple of points that we shared from the message last week. I just want to recap before we jump in. We said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Yeah. Only through Jesus. Not through me, through Jesus. Am I right? Not through something that I'm trying to work out and fix. It's only through Jesus can we get to heaven. And we said Jesus is the way to live here on the earth. All the ways of Jesus, if we follow his ways, can I say it like this? It's going to work out a lot better for you. Yeah. It will. And I know sometimes his way could be a little bit harder than our way of doing it, but our way seems to create some messes. You ever been in a mess because of your way of doing it? Amen? So it's either my way or his way. I would recommend let's go with His way. So last week we talked about the way. Today I want to talk about the truth. The truth. And I want us to go to John chapter 8. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. And I want to present this to you in a way today that is different than the way that you expect me to share it with you. It's different. Look at your neighbor and say, it's different. Look at your other neighbor, say, but it's good. It's different, but it's good. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, it says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. And a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. What kind of church is that? Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Come on, that's good Bible reading right there. Father, thank you for these few moments that we have together. I ask, Lord, that as I share this message, that it brings hope, it brings life, it brings change. Lord, use me today to represent you so well that there is not a doubt in anyone's mind how much we need you. I just pray, Lord, that you will use this message to open our eyes to see the goodness of God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I brought a rock to church this morning. It's under your seat, babe. Why don't you bring me that? Got a rock. I brought it with me today. This isn't one of those little painted rocks that the kids find. You know, remember that little trend that was going on? Find a painted rock and all that. Got to go home and do arts and crafts, paint another one and hide it and all that. This is just a regular rock. And I had a lot of rock throwing in my childhood. And I'm not talking about the kind that you skip a rock across a lake, okay? We lived on a gravel road. You got dirt roads here in Louisiana. We have gravel roads. Dirt roads turn into swamps. So you got to put a little aggregate on it so you can get some grip, all right? And so we had these gravel roads. And so I live up on a gravel road, and we had access to as many rocks as we wanted. I'm telling you, it was rocks everywhere. It wasn't a summer that went by that you were mowing the lawn that you did not hit a rock with the lawnmower and slam it through the window and shatter it, and Dad had that whole episode and all that, okay? And as a child, I had Tonka trucks. Anybody in here play with Tonka trucks? I know this generation don't know what Tonka trucks are. Tonka was the OG toy for a boy. I'm talking getting dirty. I mean, I had some incredible job sites. Incredible job sites. We moved some product around. I had a hauling company, man. I had the whole setup, man. And we would go to work summer long, man. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you got to wash the equipment down. Oh, it was great. I had a great childhood, by the way. Now, having rocks readily available, it gives you something to do when you're at the bus stop. And so I grew up on this little gravel road, and it was family land, and myself and all my cousins, we lived, and we played, and we had all kinds of fun together. And we would get to the bus stop, and you're waiting on the bus. And we're those people, we don't show up late, we show up early. You know what I'm saying? We don't show up as the bus is pulling up. We're there like 15, 20 minutes early. I know for some of y'all, that's not how you roll. You show up as the bus is pulling off. We showed up early, which meant you had nothing to do, but we had rocks. And there was a stop sign at the end of the road. And so you're sitting there, and you're betting each other. I bet you can't hit the O. Give me that rock. And you pick it up, and you throw it. I'm not going to throw the rock at you. I saw some of you like, yeah. The rocks weren't this big, by the way. And we would take the rocks we would throw, and sometimes we would miss the stop sign. And you know what's behind the stop sign? The highway. And there are cars. And there may have been a time that we hit a car. Then they built these apartments right across the highway from us, brand new apartments, and there's all those big glass windows. And the bet went from, I bet you can't hit the O in the stop sign, to, I bet you can't hit that window. And you know how it is when you're young, especially middle school age. You keep daring someone and pushing them. It's just like, let me just shut you up real quick. And so you just grab a rock and you throw it. And so a lot of rock throwing in our childhood, a lot of it. There were times that we went to war with each other. And I mean, you had rocks. You had weapons. And I know some of you are like, bro, you are disturbed. Man, I'm just telling you, we had a great childhood. I'm serious, man. We threw rocks like crazy. And I know, you can't do that now. But we did it then, and it was great. What's interesting is that the rocks, it started out as toys for us, but eventually the rocks became weapons. It started out as something that was functional, something that was fun, but then it turned into something that I could use against someone. I can't tell you how many times we tattled on each other for throwing rocks. I remember throwing a rock at my brother once, and it hit him right under the eye. I mean, we were close. We were fighting over a three-point shot in basketball. And I told him his foot was on the line. And he said his foot wasn't on the line. And we got into a fight, and I needed edge on him. And I picked up the rock, and I threw it at him. And my mom's hearing this for the first time. She's watching online. Mom, you can't do nothing now. And I begged Jason. I begged him, please don't go tell Mom. Please don't. And we negotiated some things out, and he didn't. It's called life skills, people. We knew it was dangerous, but we still threw them. We knew what it could do. We knew it could shatter a window. We knew what happened when that rock hit that car, like at the bus stop, and you have never prayed for the bus to come so quickly. Like, please. And, like, there were some bushes and everything. We'd go hide in the bush, like, just all of the strategies and tactics. And when you read John 8, John 8 is a story about throwing rocks. Story about throwing stones. And one of the laws that Moses had was that if someone committed adultery, they would be stoned for their punishment. Like, find out about it. All right, everybody, get your rock. Throw it at them. I know that's quite aggressive. Thank God for the New Testament. Can I get an amen? All right. And they would throw rocks at him. And so what's so bizarre in this story is that they catch this woman in the act. And I want to know, what are you doing and where are you going to find this kind of stuff if you're like one of these religious leaders? Did it just get creepy or is it just me? Am I right? Like, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be at the temple praying? No, you're out there spying on people, looking to see what they're doing, and then taking this lady and bringing her to Jesus and bringing her in front of everybody. Like, in front of everybody. Here's one of the questions I had. What about the dude? I heard somebody say, that part. That part. What about the guy? Where's he at? Bring them both. I mean, if we're going to do this. Bring them both. Get your rocks. But they bring the woman, and I just think that is so, like, what is going on here? And what they're doing is they're using this scenario to test Jesus. They want to see if he is, like, in alignment with them, and they're trying to find something to use it, watch this, to use it against him. They're trying to use something true from the law to use against people. They took something true from the law of Moses, and they're about to use it against this woman. They took something true from the law of Moses, and they want to use it against Jesus. They're going to use something that was true and turn it into a trap. Because they're trying to work their angle, trying to work their edge to show Jesus you're not legit. How many times have we been in our walk with God and the enemy likes to use like even a Bible verse to mess with our head and say, you see, you're not even legit. You can't even live this verse out. You ever had that thought? And he's just throwing rocks. Throwing rocks. And Jesus stoops down and he begins to write in the dirt. And while he's stooping down to write in the dirt, they're asking him, give us an answer. Give us an answer. And for ages, scholars have wondered, what did Jesus write in the dirt? What was he writing as they were demanding an answer? Some say that he was writing the names of all of the accusers and their sins. It's kind of like Jesus saying, oh, we're going to do this? Oh, we're going to do this. Some say that he wrote the word forgiveness in the dirt. But you should know that the same hand that was writing in the dirt is the same hand that wrote the Ten Commandments on the mountain. It was the hand of God that was writing the Ten Commandments in the tablet of stone, and now it's the hand of God that is writing in the dirt. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that the new covenant is going to be written on our hearts and not on stone tablets. That he wants to write the new covenant on our heart. Instead of a list of rules etched in stone, he wants to write his law. He wants to write his word. He wants to write his will on our hearts. And I just wonder if this was the day, just like Moses received those Ten Commandments written by the hand of God, and it started the old covenant. I just wonder if this is the beginning of the new covenant, where he's writing in the dirt. And I must remind you that God made man from the dirt. And now the finger of God is writing in the dirt. And all the while they're demanding an answer. So he responds with this. Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. If we're going to do this, then let's find the person who has never committed a sin and let them get started. There are people who think they have never sinned. And can I tell you, the moment they thought they have never sinned, they've just sinned. Am I right? And one by one, they would drop the stone. They wanted to stone her because of something that was true. Like the accusation and the law that is written for it, this is true. It's not that they're making something up. It is true what she has done. It is true that the law is written that she must be stoned. And so according to the law, they have every right. It just bothers me that they are that aggressive to enforce it whenever they themselves are sinners. Anybody who's in the business of like selling people out and trying to bust them and get them all the time, listen, you must be aware that the same mercy that you show to others will be the mercy that God shows to you. Amen? Like, be careful how you roll with that. And these guys, they have no filter. They have no thought process. All they know is, you are wrong. We must punish you immediately. We must punish you, and we're going to use this scenario to get Jesus as well. And Jesus, he's above it. He's above it in the way that he handles it. He's not saying that he disagrees with them. He just says that, okay, if we're going to enforce it, if you guys are going to roll, if this is how you roll, then whoever among you has committed no sin, let's get started. And none of them were qualified to enforce the very law that they knew was true. It's true that we are sinners. It's true. But Jesus, watch this, is the truth that sets us free. Like, you got to hear that part. Jesus is the truth that sets us free. Truth isn't just something that is said. Truth is a person. In other words, you can't have true sayings without a true person. And the true person, the only true person, is Jesus. Thank God for that. So when he tells you, I love you, he ain't lying. When he tells you, I'm for you, he's not lying. He is really, really for you because he is truth. It's impossible with his nature to tell a lie. However, we know that Satan is the father of all lies. Like, that's how he rolls. His truth, his belief is all factored off of lies. It's all figured out based off of lies. And he has an intent. He wants to use his lies that sound like truth against you. That's why a person who can give their life to Jesus in one moment feels so clean and brand new, and 15 minutes later hear that thought in their head that says, who do you think you really are? We all know who you are. You're nothing more than just a good old sinner. And this was just a little activity you did at church to make yourself feel better. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. Wow. I'm amazed at how much we believe that kind of stuff, how much we go with that stuff. When Jesus is saying, you're free. When Jesus is saying, you're forgiven. So they picked up stones to throw at her. But Jesus, watch this, the cornerstone is standing in front of her. And what does scripture say? The stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. See, I think there's a lot of people that are carrying stones to throw rather than carrying the cornerstone in their life. They know all the stuff about God, but do you really, really know him? Do you really know him? I would say it like this. Don't use the truth of God's word as a weapon against people. And I think that's very important for veteran believers to hear, because we will pull out a Bible verse against somebody to defend ourselves. Can I address that for a moment? We will pull out a Bible verse and use it as an argument for ourselves against somebody, and we're no different than these guys that are carrying stones. We're taking truths and we're throwing them at people. However, I would say, take the stones and throw them at your enemy. Do you remember this guy named King David? This guy named King David is like in the lineage of Jesus. And as he approached the giant, what did he do? He found five stones to pick up. And he had the word of the Lord in him, though. This battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. Come on, somebody. And he would take the stone and put it in his sling, and he threw it and he knocked the giant down with a truth from God's word. But we are not to use truth against people. Right. Truth is for people. Yeah. The truth of God's word is for people. And you can stand for truth without throwing rocks. Amen. Can I hear a better amen? Amen. And that's in our own house. I've heard parents taking scripture and throwing it at their kids to accuse them rather than taking scripture to help them make it right. We're better at accusing than making it right. Let's not misuse the word of God. Let's make sure that the truth really sets people free instead of putting them in bondage. Three truths I want to share with you about Jesus. Here's the first one. Jesus is the truth to stand on. Jesus is the truth to stand on. And it brings about this question, what are you building your life on? Or should I take it another step? Who are you building your life on? What is going to be your foundation of your life? If it's going to be your feelings, it's going to fall. Like we've got to be mature enough, amen? Can we use that word in church? We must be mature enough to understand that feelings are fleeting. You feel it today, but you don't feel it tomorrow. And if you build on the feeling, it's going to fall. We must build on someone solid. Jesus, he illustrated it like this in Matthew 7. All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise. Like a man who builds his house on what? Solid rock. And though the rain comes in torrents and the floods rise and the storm winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, for it is built on what? Rock. It is built on a truth. It's built on the truth of Christ Jesus. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on what? Sand. For when the rains and floods come and storm winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Rock or sand? We got a trend going right now in our world, in our culture, where many people are living their truth. Have you heard this? I'm living my truth. I'm living my truth. And it's like we have created a buffet of belief where you can go through the line, what was that restaurant that we have one in Baton Rouge called Ryan's? There was one called Piccadilly. I think y'all have one here called Morrison's, where you go down the line and you got all the different options. And it's like, I'll have some of that. Don't want that, but I want the Jell-O. Yeah. Give me that Jell-O. I didn't like all the stuff they put in the Jell-O. I had to work around it, but I'm getting the Jell-O. Who puts grape in Jell-O? Just like the enemy trying to sneak something in, man. Had a lady one time put cranberries in chocolate chip cookies. That's blasphemy. Leave it alone. It works. Am I right? It works. Don't try to be fancy. There are some things you don't have to be fancy with. Chocolate chip cookies, leave it alone. Got people who are living their truth, and what they're doing is they're taking from this, taking from that, and they're creating their own personalized, customized belief system. And can I tell you what that is? It's sand. It's sand. It's little pieces of the rock. Y'all know that's what sand is. It's little pieces of the rock. I'll take some of that. I'll take a little bit of this. I'm going to put it together with some of this and some of that. And I'm going to go, this is my truth, and I'm living my truth. And it's sand, but they feel so confident because it's pieces of the rock. It's these little pieces. And then the storms come. And when the storms come, they begin to fall. They begin to fall apart. And what they thought was going to stand isn't going to stand because it is not a solid foundation. And I would just say, let's be wise and build our lives on Jesus. Let me slide this in right here. There are going to be some things that Jesus says to do that you will disagree with. Let me say it a different way. There are going to be some things and some ways of Jesus that I just ain't feeling it. But if it's rock, you better build on it. Yeah, yeah. Amen? Amen? If it's rock, you better build on it. Amen. Jesus is the foundation for life. He's the foundation for family. He's the foundation for marriage, for career, for finances, for raising kids. Listen, when you got the big life decisions, you got to ask yourself, is this building on the rock? Like by making this move, if you're a young person trying to figure out your future, by making this move, does this allow me to build on the rock, or am I going to have to cultivate this and work it and try to solidify all these little pieces of sand to make it look like, feel like, and appear to be rock? And when the storms come, I'm stressing because I don't know if everything I put together can stand the test of time, can stand the test of the storm. That's why you got to go on the reliable, the faithful name of Jesus. Reliable, faithful, eternal. Can't stop him, can't tear him down. You can try to kill him, he'll come back to life. You can't stop him. It's so important to build your life on him. Who are you building your life on? Don't build it on that relationship with that friend. It's not gonna make it through all the storm. We've been BFFs for life. That's great. But your BFF didn't lay down their life for you. They can't set you free. They could just run with you and probably throw rocks with you at other people. Jesus is the truth to stand on. Are you standing on Jesus, or have you found some other options? So many times we stand more politically than we stand for Jesus. We stand up more for causes and try to get Jesus to jump in on our cause, or Jesus, jump in on my calling. Jesus is like, I'm the one that does the calling. Come on now. We want Jesus to come and do what we want to do. And Jesus is like, just come and stay and stand. Did you hear that? Stay and stand. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may stand. Stay and stand on the rock of Christ Jesus. Here's the second thing. Jesus is the truth that sets you free. Jesus is the truth that sets you free. Now, you've heard people say the truth will set you free. Y'all have heard that? You've used that, haven't you? Parents always with their kids. Now listen, you better tell me the truth, because the truth will set you free. And all that is an interrogation technique. I've been on both sides. Am I right? Kids found that out just now. I was like, thanks, Pastor Way. Thanks for doing that. And we like to use that. The truth will set you free. Nah, your motive for saying that isn't to set somebody free. It's so that you can get them. The truth will set you free. It's like point blank. Got the rock against your head. Tell me the truth, son. That's how they did it in Bible times. Here's what we got to get the revelation on. Jesus is the truth. Come with me. Jesus is the truth. It's Him, meaning there can be no truth without Jesus. I'll say it like this. You're all liars. I know, that's not a good way to get people to come to Easter service. Am I right? And the only way that you can conquer lying is with the truth of Jesus. You can try to stop, but you don't have the power to stop it. Think of that. You need more power from the one who is true. And Jesus is the truth that sets us free. There is no truth without Him. So Jesus came to set us free from our sin because He wants us to be free. Jesus wants you to be free. Amen. Like we hear that and it's so casual. Jesus wants you to be free. Amen. Let me try this side. Jesus wants you to be free. Yes, he does. Like free, free. Yes, free, free, free. Yeah. Free. Free, 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 free. Like really free. Not overwhelmed, but bless the Lord, I'm free. I'm talking free, free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what He died for your freedom. He's the truth that we must come to. And here is the truth. This is the truth right here. I need you, Jesus. That's the truth. I need you, Jesus. When it's fantastic and life is blessed and overwhelmed, and bless the Lord, oh my soul, I need you, Jesus. When life is falling apart and all hell has broken loose, I need you, Jesus. And everything in between, I need you, Jesus. That is the truth that we all need to hear. The only way to be free from sin is by the truth of Jesus. And let me tell you how the truth is backed. This is important. See, because God's not just printing out forgiveness like dollar bills with no value behind it. And that's how we think He does it. Oh, just forgive. Be a good person. Be kind. Be kind and forgive. What you don't understand is there is no forgiveness without a sacrifice. There is no forgiveness without the debt being paid. It's easy to say, oh, just forgive, just forgive, just forgive. There is a debt that has to be paid in order for forgiveness to have its value. This is so important for us to hear because, again, we think forgiveness is a feeling. Forgiveness is not just a feeling. It is freedom. And not just a feeling of freedom. It's I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I didn't make that up right there. That's an old song. The forgiveness that you and I want to receive and the forgiveness that you and I want to give doesn't come from us, but it comes from Him. In fact, I'll step into this territory. Your ability to forgive that person who has hurt you so much does not come from you. It comes from Him because He has forgiven the unexcusable in you, and because you can receive that forgiveness, watch this, you can give it. Amen? That's good. That's really good. The only way to be free from sin is by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7. We have been set free because of what Christ has done. Because He bled and died, our sins have been forgiven. We have been set free because God's grace is so rich. Thank you, Jesus, for writing in the dirt. Amen. Here's the third thing. Jesus is the truth that silences the accuser. Jesus is the truth that silences the accuser. Satan is the accuser. The Bible says it like this, the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser people. You ever had thoughts that people were talking about you and you were so sure they were talking about you? You ever had that before? Like, where did that idea come from? The accuser. The accuser. And what is he going to do? He wants to lead you down a path of lies to convince you that they are doing that to you. And what does it eventually wind up doing? Breaking the relationship. This is the same thing he does with your walk with God. Oh, you've done it this time. That's it. He's not going to want you anymore. He's given you too many chances. And some people would say, Pastor Wade, you are just cheapening the grace of God. Can I tell you, I'm not the one that gives grace its value. I'm just the one that talks about the grace that He gives value to. And all I know is that His grace is bigger than what my mind has been able to wrap around. And I do not let the sinfulness of man define the grace of God. I let the goodness of God define His grace rather than the crazy people on this earth. Come on, somebody. Because a lot of times we try to like measure it and determine what God's grace is based off of what they did. We're picking up our stone rather than standing on it. Rather than letting our lives be built with it, we want to use what was a toy at the bus stop. We want to turn it into a weapon. Something that is useful for us, we want to turn it around and use it against somebody. And all along we're reading scriptures in our Bible and we're putting it on our social media. God is for me, He's not against me. God is for me, He's not against me. But immediately when it's somebody that we don't agree with, God is against them. What's wrong with us? Am I right? God, change our heart. Jesus asked the woman, where are your accusers? And it reminded me of Romans 8. So now, say now. Now. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Key word in there is belong. I'm sold out. Not just boring, sold out. No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Watch this. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. And so instead of the law being against you, Jesus comes and fulfills the law. And now He is for you. He is for your forgiveness. And it is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. He's not against you. He's for you. I know you think He's against you because the accuser has the rock ready to throw it at you. But Jesus says, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And the enemy, even though he's loud and even though he's proud, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because He is for me. He is for me. And today I just hear the sound of the rocks dropping in your life. I hear the sound of the accusations just dropping in your life because there's a better word that has been spoken over your life, that you can be free and that He is for you. He's for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is with you. He is with you. He is in you. He is for you. He is with you. He is in you. So watch this today. No one is here to condemn you. Maybe you haven't been to church in a while, and when you walk through the door, you are like, "Oh, they're just going to judge me. They're just going to know. They're going to know everything that they're going to know. They're going to know everything that I've done. I don't know how they know, but they're going to know every single thing that I've done. Like last week, we went out and had a few too many. They're going to know. I don't know how they're going to know, but they're going to know. They're going to know." No one's here to condemn you today. No rock throwing at the people. We throw rocks at giants. We throw rocks at giants, and there's some giants trying to take people out. I'm not going to throw a rock at you, but I'm going to throw a rock at your giant. Amen? I'm going to take the truth of God and throw it at your giant and knock it down. I'll let you cut his head off. That's biblical, by the way. That's not just me aggressive. That's biblical. I want to focus in as I close on one word, and it's the word belong. Belong. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Some of us are in some things, doing some things, and can I tell you, that's not where you belong. That's not where you belong. Some of us are searching, trying to find that thing, this thing. That's not where you belong. He paid much too high a price for you to be shopping, trying to find the answer, trying to find a thing that is already right there. Let me say it this way. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. But for your freedom, He's already paid the price. And today, I know all of us, we have this desire to belong. We want to belong to a family. We want to belong in some relationships. We want to belong in a community. We want to belong. We want to feel like we fit in and we're accepted and all those things. But you can have all of those things and have all of those feelings of acceptance, but there will always be a void if you do not belong to Jesus. And the way to belong to Jesus is to give him your life, is to sell out your life, not just parts of this, not just say, Jesus, I'll take a little piece of this and a little piece of that, and I'm going to build a sand castle, and this is how we're going to build our lives. And I'm talking about, Jesus, I sell out to you completely. And because I've sold out to you completely, I belong to you. And because I belong to you, there is no condemnation that could be used against me. Because I belong to you, there is no accusation that can advance against me. Because I belong to you. And there's a lot of people that go to church and they belong to a church. And they belong to a faith community. And they belong to Bible studies. And they belong to prayer groups, maybe even e-groups, small groups, ladies groups, men's groups, all the groups you want to come up with a Bible study book and all those different things. Those things are great. But if you do not belong to Jesus, you can study about him and not belong to him. You can learn all the facts there are, memorize all the scriptures there are about him, but that doesn't mean you belong to him unless you surrender your life to him, putting your faith and trust in him. And today I just pray that you will realize that you need him, that you would repent of your sins and turn from the way that you've been living and surrender your life completely to him. And that you will restart your life brand new with him as the truth, him as the foundation. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you have tricked yourself with your own truth. But today you have heard the truth that will set you free. If today you realize I must surrender my life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer along with me and everyone else in this room, and I want you to mean it with your heart. Say, Dear Lord, I give you my life. Not just Sunday, but every day. All of my life. I surrender to you. I believe that you were the sacrifice for my sins so that I could be free. And I believe that you rose from the dead to give me new life in you. So I make the decision now. I will follow you. I will build my life on you, the rock. I'm all yours. Change me, make me new. I will live my life your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. We're so glad that you joined us for this message. If you would like to give to help us continue to reach more people, you could go to our website, merchchurch.com, and click on Give. We hope to see you at church this Sunday.